This morning's message is going to be from Jeremiah, specifically focusing on Jeremiah 29 through 11 this morning. And as you listen to the message, I hope that you really allow the Lord to speak to your heart and to really think about what is the purpose that God has for you. Sometimes we can just kind of drift through life. Sometimes we can feel unfulfilled in life. And Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that despite our past or whatever has gone on, God has a plan and purpose. And it's not to harm you, it is to prosper you. And it is only for what is good for you. And so this morning as you listen to the message, we hope and pray that it is an encouragement to your heart, as it has been an encouragement to my heart through the many years of ministry and even before ministry. So again, we'll be picking up with the message from Grace Community Church here in Lansford, Jeremiah 29:11.
All right, this morning's scripture reading can be found in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, we're going to read verses 10 through 13. If you don't have a Bible, please see me after service. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. I'm going to ask that when you get there, if you'd please stand to show reverence for the Word of God this morning. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. Now the reading of the Word of God together. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 13. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We praise God for this portion of His holy word. This is the word of God, amen. You may be seated. Again, we hold it above our heads to show its authority over us in everything we say and do. For the next couple weeks, I'm going to preach on different scriptures, different passages that are some of my favorite, ones that have played important roles within my own life, within my own walk with God. So I figured this morning there's no better place to start than to start with Jeremiah 29:11, which I'm sure I am not the only one here that has been encouraged by Jeremiah 29:11. Right away, I think of one of my best friends, John, who passed away. This was a very important verse to him that I remember we used to talk about a lot, that was a life verse. So if you have your Bibles open, we're going to go ahead and just break it down. Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 11. As we read, it starts out by saying, "For I know the plans I have for you." Let's just stop right there. Right off the bat, it's encouraging, because how many times do we feel like we're aimlessly wandering in life? It's good to know that God knows what I am supposed to be doing. There are times we have no idea or no clue what I am supposed to be doing, but it's good to know that God tells us here, hey, I know the plans and purpose of your life. Amen? So the question then is, if God knows, how do I find out? How do I find out? First off, a lot of us live life and we feel fulfilled in what we are doing. Many times we feel unfulfilled in our job, and that's okay. Your job, though it's important, is not God's main focus, a purpose, or plan for your life. Everyone get that? If you think that because you have a job, it's going to fulfill you, guess what? It ain't going to fulfill you. God's plan and purpose for your life will fulfill you. Your job is a means that God has blessed you with in order to take care of the responsibilities that God has given you. Now, for some of you guys are blessed in the fact that you do something that you absolutely love doing. And that's like an added bonus. But let's be honest, there's some people that here, you guys have jobs that you can't stand. And it's okay to not feel fulfilled in that job, because that is not what God's main focus is for you. If you're trying to find fulfillment in work or even people, you will not fully find 100% fulfillment. Fulfillment is found in doing what you are created for. You get that? Fulfillment is found in what you were created for. Some people, they find fulfillment in their children, and we love our children. Find fulfillment in our relationships. We can love our relationships. But our total fulfillment is not even in those relationships. It is in God Almighty and what He has created us for. Many of us are not doing that, what we were created for. The service and work God has for His kingdom. Not for our own kingdom. We get mixed up at times trying to find fulfillment in our own kingdom. The things that are going to get me ahead. The things that are going to bring peace to me as I see them. Instead of finding the fulfillment that God has brought and God is leading in my life to serve. Many live life, even Christians, with day-to-day routines absent from serving others for the kingdom of God. And when we do that, we can wonder, what is the point of what we're doing? You guys know what I'm talking about, the everyday routine. Maybe you get up, you get dressed, you have your coffee, maybe you read the paper, you go to work, or you do whatever you do during the day. Maybe you get your kids ready, they come home, you get them done with their homework, or you know, you're tired, you sit down, you watch TV, whatever shows you watch at night, or you program on your DVR, and then you go to bed and you do it all over again, right? We all get into routines, we all get into habits, but there should be something as a believer that says, hold on a minute. God just didn't create me in order to go through a day-by-day, stay-in-the-motion routine kind of thing. God created me for so much more. He created me to serve others. He created me to share the love of God. He created me for His kingdom, and not just my own. So how do I find the plans God has for me? The best way to discover that plan is to discover how He made you. This means taking a sober self-assessment, which involves taking an honest look at who you are. Notice the word honest look. Listen, we could try to take a look at our lives or at our heart, and we could fluff it up pretty good if we want. But if we're not honest about our strengths and our weaknesses, we're never going to be able to honestly evaluate who I am, what God has gifted me with, and what God has called me to do in order to serve Him. Amen? You can't see yourself too high or too low, taking an inventory of your strengths and your weaknesses. Doesn't it make sense that we would be created to accomplish what God wants? Doesn't it make sense that we would be created to accomplish what God wants? How many of us at the forefront of our mind every day are focusing on what is the accomplishment that God wants in my life versus what are the accomplishments I want in my own life? If we're honest, I lean more towards my own life many times instead of what are the accomplishments that God wants in my life. Yet most Christians don't even know what their strengths and weaknesses are, nor are they aware of their spiritual gifts. And so as a result, they have no idea where they fit in the body of Christ and how to serve God and others. How many of us here, let's just take a little quick survey. How many of us here kind of have an idea of what God gave you as a spiritual gift? Raise your hand if you kind of have an idea. Okay. How many of us aren't sure? Just be honest. Not sure? Okay. So as we take that and look at that, we need to say, now how do I figure that out? Well, first off, it begins by saying, God, I am willing to serve and use my spiritual gifts. Please show me. It starts by being willing. Then it's looking at what are the things that God, what are you good at? What are the passions you've given? Where is your drive in your heart when it comes to serving other people? And then it's a matter sometimes of taking a step of faith and trying something. You know, I knew from a young age that probably my spiritual gift was going to be being a pastor. I had to take a step of faith to get to this point because I did not like talking in front of people. A lot of times I'd prefer hanging off to myself. There are certain things and certain times that you know what your passion is, or you know maybe even what God has blessed you with. But then you got to get to the point where you're willing to take a step of faith and go forward in it. Amen. Sometimes you try out certain ministries in the church. And if it don't work out, it don't work out. Try another one until you find what your passion is. Now, as we go on here, Jeremiah 29:11, it goes on to say, as we read, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." I'm not going to start preaching like the late night preachers that are going to tell you about, you know, the prosperous putting the handkerchief under your pillow and so forth. I'm not too concerned about that. Prospering doesn't mean you have all the money you want. Prospering can mean many things, and they are all good. Now, it can mean that you are blessed financially. That could be part of a prosperous blessing that God has given you. But also, you could be blessed in your spiritual relationship with God, which I hope all of us would put above anything else. To be blessed in our own spiritual relationship with God, to prosper within it. I rise and I go to bed knowing that He is my Lord and my King. I had that relationship with Him. That I know that as I go through life and my struggles and my difficulties, I have a God who is full of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Strength for today, hope for tomorrow. We could also be prospered by having a positive outlook on life. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we go through the ups and the downs of like everybody else. But is my attitude one that is going to be prosperous? Are you a tree that is bearing positive, good fruit, or are you a tree that bears negative, rotten fruit? Sometimes it's a matter of an attitude adjustment within our hearts and our minds to be more positive. We must understand God wants for us all, as His children, exactly what we want for our children. Only the very best. Do you understand that? That God wants only the very best for you. How many times do we get in a mindset where we think God's out to get me? He's out to get me. I'm telling you, He's out to get me. I don't care what you say. He's out to get me. Unfortunately, most times, you're out to get yourself. It is our choices, our lack of wisdom, our lack of understanding, our lack of discernment, poor choices. God is not out to harm you. Many times we are out to get ourselves because of our careless decisions, ungodly choices, or other people's choices around us. Now, we go through times of difficulty and trials, and could God stop those things from happening? Yes, He could. God did not keep His own Son from being crucified because of His love for us. Because of God's love for us, guess what? He is going to allow us to go through trials and difficulties so that we learn to trust in His will, to grow closer to Him, to gain wisdom and discernment, and to see that we can prosper in this world because we have a victory through Jesus Christ. Amen? Guess what? If I never went through any trials or tribulations, how am I going to know about the victory that comes through Jesus? Because He is the victor in the midst of all of our struggles. Many of us, when we live according to the plan of God and not the plan of self, we find ourselves to prosper. My attitude changes. Even though I may not like my job, my ministry to others brings joy and peace to my heart. If I'm so focused on my day to day, and this is my job, and this is what I do, you could find yourself in a box that you'll never get out of. You gotta look and say, hey, yeah, my job stinks sometimes, but guess what? I do all to the glory of God, because there's a lot of people that wish they had a job right now. And secondly, this isn't why I'm here. I am here to serve other and change people's hearts. And so I am not just looking for my 9-to-5 job to be my fulfillment. I am looking, what can I do besides my job? Maybe in the evening or on a weekend that I can do to minister to people's hearts, because that is where fulfillment comes, in doing and what God created you to do. You know, at the end of the day, when you stand before God, again, God's not going to show you what your bank account is or how many cars you have. He's not going to show me as a pastor, this is, you know, how much money you had, and you know, these are how many years you're in positive, negative, these are how many people attended, how many numbers you have, blah, 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 blah. You're going to want to look around and say, and God say, I used you, and because you allowed me to use you, this person is here, this person is here, this person is here, this person is here. And don't you want that just to keep going and going? And isn't that more important than anything else that can be gained in this world? I mean, you don't do it for your own glory. It's all to the glory of Jesus Christ. But imagine being in heaven and having 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people come up and say, you know what? The Lord revealed to me that because you were had an obedient heart, you touched my heart and changed it. And I thank you. Don't we get things mixed up a lot in our perspectives here on earth? When I understand God wants me to prosper and not harm me, it should embolden me to live a more positive attitude life. For my God is for me, who can be against me? Let come what may, at the end of the day, I will stand in the glory of the Lord. As they say, hell or high water, it don't matter. I know who my victor is. I know who my king is. And whatever comes, he's already been there. And he'll bring victory in my life. And so we need to change our attitudes. We need to live with being emboldened. Scripture says, because of Jesus Christ our Lord, we can come emboldened to the throne of God with our prayers and with our requests. As Christians, we need to stop with our heads down, moping around, and blah, 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 blah. We are child of the King. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Receive it. Take it. Apply it into your life. Not as someone being prideful or boastful, but in knowing where you stand as a son or daughter of Almighty God. Amen? You see, Satan wants you to think that he has you, and he can push you around whenever he wants. And you need to understand that you have something that you could stand upon and proclaim. Scripture tells us that through the power and the name of the blood of Jesus, we can cast away demons. That we can trample upon serpents. Not in our power, but in his power. And how many of us need to start living with the attitude of who we are? Again, not in our own pride, but in the power of who Jesus is and what he makes us. Goes on in Jeremiah 29:11 to say that these plans are to give you a hope and a future. Hope is not a wish. It is an expectation of the goodness of God to come. Hope is not a wish. It is an expectation of the goodness of God to come. My hope is in the Lord. That doesn't mean I wish, I wish, I wish. It means I have an expectation that I know that everything I have is in the Lord. He knows the future, and His plans for us are good and full of hope. As long as God, who knows the future, provides our agenda and goes with us as we fulfill His mission, we can have boundless hope. This does not mean that we will be spared pain or suffering or hardship, but that God will see us through to a glorious conclusion. Goes on to say, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God does not forget His people. Even though the Jewish people, as Jeremiah was writing, even though the Jewish people were held captive to Babylon, God planned to give them a new beginning with a new purpose, to turn them into new people. In times of dire circumstances, it may appear as though God has forgotten you. But God may be preparing you, as He did the people of Judah, for a new beginning with Him at the center. You may feel like God has forgotten you, or God has abandoned you. You need to stop feeling sorry for yourself and look at the fact that God is preparing you for something exciting and new if He is going to be the center of it. Amen? Personally, to me, Jeremiah 29:11. There are many times that you could think that maybe you've missed the boat. There can be times when you think that you messed up the plan that God had for your life. If you seek Him with all of your heart, He will work those plans out for you. It doesn't matter about your past. You haven't missed the boat. All you have to do is call out to Him and seek Him with all of your heart, and guess what? He will pull up with the boat. When you are at your lowest, when you feel like everyone has turned their back, when you don't know up from down, left from right, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. A plan not to harm you, but a plan to prosper you. You need to make sure that your will is not following yourself, but according to His will. The exciting thing is that if you haven't sought Him with all of your heart, if you don't know what that plan, His purpose is, today is a day that you can get right with God and say, hey God, I'm ready. Maybe I've been too focused on my own agenda. It's time for me to get focused on your agenda. What is it that you have a plan in my life to serve the kingdom of God? Because I'm done of trying to serve my own kingdom, because I can see it's not going to fulfill me in any way, not for the long haul. I encourage you guys, ask the Lord, Lord, show me what your plan and purpose is for me. Lord, help me, give me strength to take steps of faith. I think I like kids. I like to minister to kids. Help me have the strength to take a step of faith, maybe to help out with kids club or youth group, or I enjoy doing this, or I do. Let me talk to pastor about doing this or this. I love encouraging people. Let me start getting some addresses of people in the church so I can write them cards, you know. Show me, Lord God, what I can do for your kingdom. Help me to be aware of the people around me that don't know who you are, so that I can share the simple good news of the gospel, of how to have eternal life through the Son of God. These are the things that we need to be focused on. Sometimes we, despite our flaws and our past, God does have a future plan to prosper us and not to harm us, and His power can accomplish it in each and every one of us. And it's never too late. All we need to do is seek Him with all of our heart. I'll just close with this. There are times when we think we know what we are doing, We know where we should be going. There are times we go in that direction. Maybe we go in that direction for years. And then all of a sudden we hit the dead end. Now what? God has a plan and purpose for you, with a hope and a future, to prosper you and not to harm you. He is calling out to you in a very loud voice this morning to seek Him with all of your heart and get upon that right path. He loves you more than you'll ever know. He has your ways planned out for you. Trust Him with taking you down the place you need to go. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You. Sometimes, Lord God, we're not skilled to understand all things, but we don't need to understand and know everything. We just need to have an obedient heart to Your leading. Lord, I admit, and I'm sure many of us can admit, that so many times we try to do it our way. We're trying to build up our kingdom, and we're missing out on the real blessings and fulfillment that come through doing it Your way. Lord, I thank You for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. I thank You, Lord God, that it is not too late to get going according to Your will and Your ways. I pray that each and every one of us, as we leave this place, that at some point today, we would have time to reflect upon what has been said from Your word this morning, reflect upon it, and allow You to speak to our hearts as to what You would have for us to do. Lord, we love You, and we praise You, and we thank You. We thank You that You never give up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212, and leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.